So as we have come into a new year, I believe it's important for us to think through and look at both what the year of 2019 had in store for us, but also what we want to expect and see from 2020. And one of those things that we can always grow in is prayer. And today I want to speak about cooperating with God through prayer. And prayer is something that God has called all of us to, no matter where we are in life, no matter how young we are or where we are in the journey with God. All of us are called to a life of prayer. And there is so much power in prayer that when we realize it, we will start to feel more the joy of it as well. And as we go into New Year, I think it's good for us to challenge us, both as individuals and as a church. And that's why, as we have spoken about this morning, we're going to start bi-weekly Wednesday prayers for our church. But so because it's important that we challenge us, because through prayer, so much can happen. And without prayer, unfortunately, too many times, things don't go the way that God intends. Because as Christians, we need to cooperate with God in prayer. There are plans, there are purposes, there are things He wants to do in our own lives, in our family lives, in our nation, or this nation, or the nations that we come from. But He needs people that pray out His will. He needs people that are willing to work together with Him. And it says in 1 Corinthians 3, 9-15. You can turn with me there if you have your Bibles with you, no matter if you have the soft copy or the phone copy. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So when we look at 1 Corinthians 3, we find first and foremost in verse 9 that we are God's fellow workers. We are God's field. You and me are God's building. So in other words, we are called to work together with God. That doesn't mean the power comes from us. That doesn't mean that we are the one who carries the miracles and all of those things. That is God. But still God chooses to go through human vessels in order to accomplish what He has intended. For some reason, God intends to work through prayer. For some reason, it is you and me that carry a lot of authority when we speak out the name of Jesus. When we speak out the word of God, there is authority in our words. When you and me, we take the authority that is given in Jesus' name and we start to proclaim it, things start to take place as well. And you know, as believers, we need to realize that there is a spiritual world and there is a natural world. There are things that we see in front of us. There are things that we are aware of. There are things that we can touch. But oftentimes, as believers, we tend to be ignorant of the spiritual reality of things. That there are things that happen in the unseen world, as the Bible describes it. There is good and evil, and there are power both from God's side and not from God's side at work. And there is something that happens when you and me, we start to pray. Because that's when the spiritual world starts to change. When, you know, if we think about only salvation prayer, how much can that small prayer accomplish? It brings a person from death to eternal life. So when we look at this, at 1 Corinthians, we find that we are God's fellow workers. But not only that, there are things that we can do in this life that are building up for eternity, and one of that is prayer. And I've said it before and I will say it again. I believe those that are going to be receiving the greatest reward in heaven. Eternal life when it comes... I mean, when we receive Jesus Christ, we receive eternal life. But when we come to heaven, when we stand before Him, the Bible speaks about rewards as well. So there are things that we can do in this life that can bring glory to God, or there are things that we can do in this life that can bring no glory at all to Him. But one of those things that we can do that is going to live for eternity, that is going to last for eternity, is how we pray. How we pray for people, how we pray for the things that God places in our heart. And I believe all those prayer ladies or prayer men that have prayed days and nights for the things of God are going to be the one who receive the greatest rewards in heaven. People we have never heard of. People that have not even their names may have been mentioned to us. But I believe those people, when we stand before God, when we stand before Jesus, they are among those that are going to receive the greatest reward. You know, I told this story a while back about this preacher that lost his grandmother. And every day had been standing before the congregation preaching. And one day his grandmother died. One day he heard the news that his grandmother has passed away. And that Sunday, as he was preparing, there were things that just... Things did not work. He did not get what... He just didn't feel the inspiration. And when he came before the congregation on that Sunday, he realized that all those prayers his grandmother had been praying, all those prayers every day she had been praying for him, and he realized when she was not there any longer, it was hard for him to continue in the way in the same capacity as he had done before. So when he stood before the congregation on that Sunday, he said to the congregation, and he was honest, and he said, "You know what? I have nothing for you. I realize that my grandmother has been praying every single day for me and for the preaching and the word of God. And now when she's left, I don't sense the inspiration as I used to." And in that moment, African-American woman stood up and said, "I'll be your new praying grandmother." And every single day after that, she started praying for him and praying for his ministry. So sometimes, even though things take place in the natural, most of those things that take place in the natural, in the things that God is doing, needs to be prepared through prayer. And not everybody that stands on stage, not everybody that we see are the ones who actually are doing a lot of work behind the scene as well. And the greatest outpourings in history have usually come through because people have started to pray. There is a man called Evan Roberts, and he is known for the Wells Revival. So in 1904, a great revival broke out in Wales. And Evan Roberts was just a young man at that time, maybe in his 20s. And he was one of those that was a key person during that revival. And before the revival started, there was a time in his life where he would wake up every night at 1 a.m. God would wake him up. And from 1 a.m. until 5 a.m., he would just be praying. He was seeking God. He was meeting with God. It became like a very, very close personal relationship with God that he had not experienced before. So for 4 hours, from 1 a.m. until 5 a.m., he would just be in the presence of God. And shortly after that, the revival, the Wells Revival broke out. And it started so small. It started with this young man that he got a desire to start to preach the Word of God. He experienced the Holy Spirit, and he was experiencing something new with God. So he came to a place in his life where he felt like, "I want to start preaching," and he was so enthusiastic. So he went to his home church and he talked to his pastor and said, "I want to start preaching." And this pastor didn't know what to do with him. This enthusiastic young man, what kind of platform can I give him? So he gave him to preach after the main prayer service, like when everybody should have left. He gave him the opportunity to preach then, to take moments to preach then. So in the first meeting, about 16 people stayed. And all of those 16 people encountered God in a new way, in their new faith. They were revived in their faith. So the pastor decided to give him another meeting. And more people came. And more people experienced God. So there came another meeting and another meeting until the whole church was filled up. And the thing is that what started so small as a own encounter with God was given to more and more people, and people started to come to church just for prayer. And in some meetings about 2,000 people came just to pray together. And out from this revival, about 100,000 to 150,000 came to know the Lord. And it says that people, like the guys who were working in the coal mines, they would come to prayer meetings that lasted until 3 a.m. in the night. They would go home, they would shower, they would eat, and they would go back to work. And a lot of things changed in the nation. So many crime, the crime rate came down, and people that had been cursing a lot, the cursing stopped as well. So there was a revival that came from one person to a church, to the whole of the nation, and even to the surrounding nations. Why? Because people started to pray. And usually before a great move of God, or even before something happens that God is preparing, He will always prepare people to pray. He will always put together people to pray, and from that prayer, God will begin to move in areas that He has on His heart. So I don't think we have ever seen a great revival born without it being preceded by prayer. So we are God's co-workers. We are God's fellow workers. You and me. Can you, because I see that this is the first day of the year, people are tired. Can we look at the person next to us and say, you are God's fellow worker? Can we say it like we actually mean it? Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Polycarp. One more time. You can look at the person on your right. If you have no one on the right, then you have a trouble. You find someone. You have Teresa behind you, Chris. So. So we are called to pray. There's a call to prayer. No matter, I mean, it doesn't matter if we are 14 or 13 or 88 or 90, you know, whatever age we are. There is a part of our priestly ministry to pray, no matter if we realize that or not. We spoke about some weeks back about the priestly and kingly ministry of every believer. And one of the ministry of every believer is that we are called to be priests, which means we are called to pray. And if we are not walking out in that calling of praying, if we don't have a prayer life, then we are not walking in our priestly ministry. We are not fulfilling that part of what God has called us to. 1 Timothy 2:1-2 says, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. So there is a calling from God. And as Paul says here, he is exhorting us that we pray for all men in all kinds of authority. People in the political areas, people that are maybe kings over nations, or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Every man, because it says here, every single man, we are supposed to pray for everyone. That doesn't mean that you by yourself have to cover every single individual on this earth. But you know, in Iceland, because we only have 350,000 people, we have a telephone book with all the names and all the numbers. And there are people that actually just take the telephone book and try to cover certain amounts of name and get through it to pray for the different people of Iceland. Because it represents the whole, I mean, of course not the kids and so on, but it still represents the main households in Iceland. I know we cannot do that here, since we have a little bit more people. But at the end of the day, you know, who are the people in our surroundings? Who are the people that we have? Who are the people that God has surrounded us with? Being family, being non-believer, being co-workers, being the authority that is in this nation or the nations that we come from. At the end of the day, there's a call to prayer. There is a call not only to pray for ourselves. I know sometimes, you know, there are people that will only remember their own prayer request. But there is actually a call to pray for beyond ourselves as well. And there is an urgency to pray and praying for the things of the world. You know, when we think about the fires in Australia right now, do we pray? Do we mention it before God? You know, we are even seeing on Facebook the people are sending out, asking for prayers for the nation of Australia because of the wildfires. Are we praying? Have we prayed for Hong Kong? Do we continue to pray for Hong Kong? There are things that are happening in the world. You know, one lady said, when she was asked, a prayer lady was asked, how do you know what to pray for? And she actually just took out the newspaper and said, this is it. This is my prayer list. This is how I know what to pray for. Because of what I see, what is happening in the world, that becomes my prayer request. That becomes the very thing that I cover in prayer. So there is a call. I'm not talking about that we have to spend 24/7, you know, in prayer. But, you know, sometimes, have you thought of it when you wake up in the night? Let me ask you a question. You know, let's say you go to sleep at 12, whatever time you go to sleep, and you are gonna planning to sleep until 6 a.m., let's say so. But then for some special reason, you wake up at 4 a.m., and you're just bright awake. What is the first thing that comes to your mind? Pray? Okay, awesome. Because not all of us would think right. Maybe if I'm waking up at 4 a.m., maybe there is something God is urging me to pray for. You know, my husband tends to say, when I wake up in the night, and if I don't start praying, then I don't fall asleep, so I might as well pray. And then he starts praying in tongues, and he starts praying, you know, seeing what the Lord is trying to put in his heart. And after he's prayed for a while, and when he feels this release, he falls asleep. So oftentimes, because God may wake us up at the middle of the night, and maybe we don't even know why. But as we start praying, we start to sense the leading of the Spirit of God. Or we may even just start praying in the Spirit, as the Bible speaks about praying in tongues. And as we start, we just know that we are praying. Maybe it's for another person at the other end of the world. Or maybe there is something happening that we are not aware of at that moment and that time. But there is a call to prayer for all of us. So I will encourage you, even if you wake up in the night, ask the Spirit of God, is there something I need to pray for? Is there a reason I am awake right now? And since I'm awake, maybe I better just start praying, right? And seeing what it is that he has on his heart. And the more we live that kind of a life with God, the more he might actually start to wake you up in the night. Because as the Bible says, you know, it speaks about Moses talking to God like face to face. It speaks about those men of God that they had a relationship with God. And God is looking for that intimacy with us of prayer. That as we seek him and as we pray and as we allow him to lead us, he might start to share more and more with us. Because he will start to trust us for more and greater things. Amen. So there is something, oftentimes when it comes to prayer, people feel heavy. People feel like it's difficult to pray. But Isaiah 56 tells us, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offering and their sacrifice will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. So what is God saying? He's saying, I will make them joyful in my house of prayer. Prayer is not supposed to be boring, okay? Prayer can be difficult. Waking up in the morning can be difficult to start praying, putting in that spiritual habit. And nobody is saying that if you have prayed for maximum of 5 minutes, that tomorrow you're going to pray for 1 hour. You know, it's a journey together with God that we learn and we get greater and we get stronger in. But he wants to bring us into a prayer of joy. You know, he wants prayer to be something we long for, something we desire. Because at the end of the day, what is prayer? Prayer is fellowship with God. Prayer is coming into the presence of God. Prayer is coming closer to God, understanding more of God, and seeing who he is. So prayer is not supposed to be a yoke. Prayer is not supposed to be something that is burdensome to us. But He wants to lead us into a prayer life that can be full of His Spirit and full of life and full of joy. Amen? And I believe all of us would not mind experiencing that kind of a prayer life. And we need to know that praying to God, how do we pray? We pray to the Father in Jesus' name. That is how Jesus taught us. John 16, 23 to 24. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Asking you will receive, that your joy may be full. So Jesus is saying, whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will give you. So in other words, sometimes this is what people question, especially when they're new believers. Who am I supposed to pray to? I'm so confused. You have the Father, you have Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. But who am I supposed to come to? But what Jesus is teaching us, come to the Father in the name of Jesus. When we are praying, when we are praying for nations, when we are praying for things in our life, when we are praying for things that God puts in our heart, we can come to the Father in the power of the name of Jesus. So actually, when we pray for things, we can release things in the name of Jesus. But there is an intimacy of a relationship with the Father. There is an intimacy of a prayer life where I don't only come before someone. Of course, we're supposed to have the fear of God. But it doesn't mean that the fear of God will keep us away from God. But Jesus, when He taught us about prayer, He said, come to the Father. The first thing He gave us was Father. Our Father. So when we come before God, we're not coming before someone that is so far away that the distance and planets and all of that, there is no way to reach Him. When Jesus teaches us about God and when Jesus teaches us about prayer, it's about coming to an intimate setting of a father, son, and daughter. And from that setting, we are able to pray in the name of Jesus. So when we come before Him and there are things that He, the Bible says that even God wants to give us the desires of our heart. I mean, are we honest before Him? When we pray to Him, do we pray as if He is a distant God, far, far away, or do we pray as to a God that is a Father that is close to us? It is through the Holy Spirit that we experience God. It is through the Holy Spirit that we experience His presence. But in prayer, we are called to come before a Father that is a good Father, that is a loving Father. And when we come before Him, we can release things through the name of Jesus. Amen? And it's so important for us to know what kind of standing we have in prayer when we are going to pray. Otherwise, prayer is just going to end up becoming boring, even. John 17:3 mentioned this is eternal life, to know Him, to know God. We can start knowing God now. Eternal life does not start only when we come to heaven. Eternal life starts now. Do you know that? Do we grasp what God has given us? That what we start now will last for eternity. And the life we have started with God has not started when we come to heaven. It has started now. The life of intimacy, the life of prayer, the life of knowing Him. And the thing is that we need to realize that God wants to answer our prayers. Who has ever prayed and felt like, God, I hope, I really hope, I really, really hope, but I'm not sure. Maybe oftentimes there is a part of us that says, but maybe it won't take place. Maybe it won't happen. Maybe He doesn't care. But what we need to realize as believers is that God wants to answer your prayers. When we pray in line with His word, when we pray in line with His will, God wants to answer. You know, He wants to answer the desire of your heart. You know, sometimes it may take time. Our timetable is not always like God's, right? Who has ever experienced that? Okay, there are a few honest here. But oftentimes, we want it now, and we want it right now. But there have been times where I have prayed for things for a few years until I saw it come to a reality. And it may even be things that I have been crying out for God, but it took a few years until I saw it come into a full reality in front of me. It may have been steps of seeing God move. It may have been steps of seeing how He continuously bring it into fulfillment. But it may still have been time. Because sometimes we have to realize there are spiritual things, there are spiritual fights going on. And not everything will come into fulfillment like that. Some things will take time. But it's during this time, from the time that we start praying until we see the prayer answer, what are we going to do in the meantime? Are we going to allow discouragement to come in? Are we going to allow doubt to come in? Are we going to allow all of those things that are happening around us affect us so much that we even stop praying altogether? Are we going to continue to pray until we see the miracle of God? Until we see the prayer answer come into fulfillment? And we need to realize our standing needs to be that God wants to answer prayer. James 1 and 5, just read one verse for you. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. If you lack wisdom, ask him, and he will give you. Why does he want to give you? Because of the abundance of his heart, he wants to give you wisdom. Do you need wisdom today? I need wisdom. Every single day of my life, I need wisdom. And I'm sure that's the same thing about you. But God says, if you lack wisdom, ask of me, and I will give to you. Because that is the heart of God, that whatever you need to come through your day, whatever strength, whatever things you are facing right now, God wants to give you your daily bread. He wants that to be our prayer. Lord, this is... I need your help today. I need your wisdom. You know, sometimes we may not know about tomorrow, but the prayer says, today, give me my daily bread. Today, I need your help. I may not know how tomorrow is going to turn out, but I leave that to you. And tomorrow, I will ask the same prayer. God, today, I ask for your help. I ask for your wisdom. I need you to be with me in this situation. And sometimes we need that is that walk with God, that as we trust Him and we rely on Him, we need to trust that every day He will give us what we need. That if we lack something, ask of Him. And He will give beyond your natural abilities, beyond your natural mind. We need to understand that there is more willingness in God to give than even in the request that we long for it. Because He is a good giver. 1 Peter 3 and 12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. You know, if somebody's eyes is on something continually, and if somebody's ears is open to something, someone, it means that that person matters to him or her. And the Bible says that God's eyes are on the righteous. God's eyes are on you all the time. You continually take up His attention. He knows the hair on your head. He knows everything about you. And the moment you open up your mouth, He is not like, okay, this is going to take 2 years until I hear. But His ear is listening. The moment you say, Father, He's like, oh, yep, Yinkit is calling. Okay. Wow. There is so much power in this. Or Gabriel is calling. You know, the moment we call for Him, His ear is attentive. And He listens and He hears. But just like we see in the book of Daniel, it took time before the prayer came through for him, right? But he had to continue to pray. He had to continue to fight because there was a spiritual resistance. And that's why it's so important. When we pray, there is a call to pray. There's a call to pray for our church. There is a call to pray for the nation of Singapore. There is a call to pray for the nations of the world, for the governments, for the things that are taking place at this time. There is a call to prayer to pray for people that do not have Jesus yet. And you and me, we have that ministry. But we need to know where we stand before God. Because prayer will get so much more excited if we understand what kind of a position we have before Him. It's a position of authority and power. It's a position of His eyes. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. You are the righteous. Do you know that? The moment we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become the righteousness of we receive the righteousness of Jesus, and we become righteous before God, not based on what we have done, but based on what He has done for us. And the moment you and me became born again believers, the eyes of the Lord was upon us, and He is attentive to our prayers. So we need to know where we stand when we pray. You know, there was a time when, one time, a few years back, I think it was, I probably was 18 year old, or I don't remember exactly how old I was, but I was starting out in my, you know, prayer habits. And I was looking at this cloud very far away. And I was just thinking, you know, how cool wouldn't it be if I would suddenly see Jesus, you know, on the cloud there. I would see God. I would see something like very spiritual, very nice. Again, I was just looking at the cloud very far away. And then I just heard that voice. Why are you looking for me so far away when I'm just here beside you? And that's so often how we are. We're looking for, like, we're thinking that we need to, like, get so far with our prayers, and God is like somewhere out there and He's hearing me. But all this time, He's right here with us. Because the Bible says the Holy Spirit is with us all the time. But we tend to look so far away when He's right here. So the moment we open up our mouth, He is there. So there is a power in prayer, and God wants to be close to us. He answers the prayer of the righteous. The righteous, Psalm 34:17. I don't think we have it on the screen. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. So who is the righteous? Chris is the righteous. All of us are the righteous as Jesus Christ has become our Lord and Savior. And the righteous cry out. So when we cry out in our misery or in things that we are facing, we cry out and we say, God, the Lord hears, and He delivers them out of all the troubles. What a promise. I mean, what a power of prayer. That if I cry out, it's like a small baby somewhere crying out, you know, I need help. And if when the cry comes to the parents, of course, when they see the troubles of their child, the first thing they do is to come running and try to help them. And the same thing with us. If we are in troubles, if we are experiencing things, you know, the cry of our righteous cry will come to the Lord. He will hear us. And the good news here, guys, is that it doesn't stop with the hearing, right? But He will hear us, and He will deliver us out from all of our troubles. So there is an action. There is a moving from crying to hearing, to doing. And the good news is that when the crying has come, and when God has done something, usually the crying stops. Because there is a miracle that happens. And God is moving, and God is changing things. And it has nothing to do with us being so great. It has nothing to do with that I just spent, you know, the rest, all of the week, you know, doing spiritual stuff. It just has to do with the very fact that we have been saved by grace and we have been brought into fellowship with God. And one thing we cannot forget, our standing in prayer has to do with a covenantal relationship with God. Hebrews 13 and verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That is our standing in prayer. We are put into a relationship of father, sons, and daughters. We are put into a relationship of a covenant that is an everlasting covenant. If God has said something to us, if God has given us something, if God has promised something, he will not back down to his word. Most of the time, it's you and me that back down too early. Most of the time, it's you and me that give up praying too early before the breakthrough comes, because we don't see it in the natural. But at the end of the day, we need to continue to cry out to God. We need to continue to confess this word. We need to continue to speak out the name of Jesus until we see that things start to come into place as God has promised. So how do we know the will of God? How can we pray according to the will of God? We know the will of God by dwelling in the Word of God. We know the will of God. If God says, I am good, then I know he only wants good things for me. If God says that by my stripes you are healed, then I know his will for me is to be healed. If I know that in all things that the Word says, and I look at my situation, I look at my experience, I always need to go back to the Word and see, is my experience in line with the Word of God, or is my experience the opposite of what the Word says? Because my experience needs to come in line with God's Word and not the other way around. But oftentimes as believers, we start to put experience above the Word. But when we stand in the position of prayer, we need to know, what does he say? What has he promised? The Bible tells me that the cry of the righteous will come before his ears, and he will hear and he will answer. The Bible tells me that he is with me every single day of my life, that if I ask for wisdom, I will receive wisdom. The Bible encourages me to pray for all men. To pray for people in high position and high authorities. I'll pray for them, and I pray that they are able to work in line with the will of God. So time and time again, if we know what God has promised, the more we spend time with him, the more we spend time in his word, the more we can pray according to his will. Proverbs 2, 1 and 2 says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Receive my word, treasure my command, incline so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Sometimes we may not know how to pray for things. Sometimes we may not even know what is the will of God at this moment, at this time. But when we go to the Word, we can figure out what is the will of God. And another thing, of course, the Bible tells us that we can pray in the Spirit. If we don't know what to pray for, we see in the Word of God that the Bible speaks about praying in tongues. And if that is something you already have, I also encourage you to continue to practice that. If that is something you don't have already, that you can ask the Lord and believe to receive it. You know, before me and Chris moved to Asia, there was a time I was, I believe some of you have heard that story. There was a time where I was driving between Stockholm and another town in Sweden. And I had to go a couple of times a week. And every time it was a 1 hour drive, one way, so 2 hours back and forth. And as I was driving, you know, what do you do? You pray, right? You have so much time on your hand, and it's the perfect opportunity to pray. And I was just start praying in the Spirit, as the Bible speaks about praying in tongues. And I was praying and praying and praying, and you know, as you start to pray, and then suddenly you get into the gear, and you start to actually drive faster, which was not too good. But you're getting so into your prayer, and then you suddenly realize, whoops, on a 90 you're up to 120, which is not something to be proud of. But at the end of the day, you know, I was praying and I was praying. And I believe that is one of the reasons that as we were praying, because this was during the time we were looking at God, what is the next step? And I was just praying, the Spirit praying and understanding. And I believe that is one of the reasons as well. God will lead it step by step that we came to, He was preparing for it, but it was also prepared through prayer. And then God opened up the opportunity for us to move to Shanghai. And I became the youth pastor. And then later we came here to be a part of this church. But we need to cooperate. God has plans. God has purpose. But you and me, we need to cooperate with Him to pray through the things that He wants to do through your personal life, in our nation, in the nation of Singapore, in the nations that we come from, in our families. There is a call to prayer. And it's so important that we just don't sit and just wait for things to happen. But we need to be willing to cooperate with Him, work with Him, pray through things. So maybe there are things that God has placed on your heart as you sit in here today. I want to encourage you, take time to pray through for those things. Because you may see, and God has spoken, but there may be a time of seeking. There may be a time of prayer. And maybe you have never prayed for anything outside of your own life. Maybe it's just time to start somewhere. Start small. Start praying in line with what the Lord is putting on your heart. Because all of us are called for prayer. Amen? Amen? Are you still with me?
Yes.
Are you excited about praying?
Yes.
You don't sound super excited. I believe you are. And I want us not only when it comes to our own life, but also as a church. Let's put prayer as a focus. Let's start somewhere and then grow in it. But just know that God hears you. And God's ears and eyes. God's eye is on you. God's eyes are on you. And He hears your cry. Amen?
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 Amen.
One more time. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, if I can get the worship.